the bacteria which led to the deaths of four vulnerable babies across Northern Ireland has been detected in water outlets in the neonatal units at three more hospitals. Water tests from Daisy Hill in Newry, Craigavon Area Hospital and the Erne Hospital in Enniskillen were positive. As in all neonatal units, steps have already been taken to ensure that babies did not come into contact with the water supply. No babies in these hospitals are infected with Pseudomonas, although two have it on their skin, meaning it has no effect on those babies. Dr. Lorraine Docherty is Assistant Director of the Public Health Agency. Lorraine, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
So, this has been found in another three hospitals. Should we be concerned?
Stephen, as you know, we've been undertaking this water testing as a precautionary measure across the province in response to the outbreak at Royal Jubilee. We now have identified Pseudomonas in water outlets in all of our neonatal units at this stage. But I'd like to reassure people that the water is completely separate from the babies, and that has been a key control measure in this outbreak and seems to be effective.
Yeah, the key sentence that you just said there, Lorraine, you said that you started testing the water supply after what happened at the Royal Jubilee. But of course, the first baby died at Alt na Gelvin. Why did you not test the water supply after the first baby died at Alt na Gelvin? Why did it take another three babies to die?
Well, you know, Stephen, we're in very new and uncharted territory here. We're working on establishing, you know, what may have caused this outbreak. We're looking at issues in relation to the water, and we're generating evidence that has not yet been seen anywhere else in the UK. So it's a very new situation for us. The CMO did issue guidance at the end of December to the service, advising them to risk assess their water system.
And that was after the first baby died at Alt na Gelvin?
That was after the first baby died in Alt na Gelvin. The water systems are not known to be routinely contaminated with Pseudomonas. So if you look across the rest of the United Kingdom, Ireland, nowhere is testing water routinely for Pseudomonas. We know that Legionella is a pathogen which can cause pneumonias, which we do find in water systems and in certain institutions. But Pseudomonas was not one of the ones that we were routinely seeing in water supplies.
But Lorraine, if we step through this timeline, I think it's very important for the public to know this. So if we step through the timeline very, very slowly, Pseudomonas is found in Alt na Gelvin, and a baby died, sadly, at Alt na Gelvin from contracting Pseudomonas. And the chief medical officer then sends out an advisory to all of the other hospitals. And I've seen that advisory. And in part of that advisory letter, he advises the hospitals to check their water supply. Did the hospitals check their water supply?
Well, I know the CMO issued that guidance on the basis of risk assessment at that time. The guidance did go to all the trusts before Christmas. The public health agency wouldn't be involved with the trust in relation to testing their water supply routinely. So I can't answer the question as to whether or not trusts were testing the water at that time. That's for the trusts.
But surely that's is that not a fundamental question that the public health agency should know by this stage?
Well, Stephen,
An advisory comes from the chief medical officer. Did other hospitals in Northern Ireland follow it or not, or did they ignore it?
I think those discussions will be had in the context of the independent review that is going on in relation to this outbreak. You're aware that the Chief Medical Officer and the Minister have commissioned this review, which is going to kick off very shortly. All of those issues, including a detailed timeline, will have to be exposed. The important issue here is about managing risk in the system. As soon as we became aware that we had an outbreak in Royal Jubilee, as soon as we even got an inclination that this may be associated with Pseudomonas in the water, we moved very quickly to advise trusts to separate the babies from the water. And as soon as we were aware of this problem in the water, we worked very closely with colleagues in the trust and the department, and the CMO issued guidance to the trust to not only test their water, but to replace all their taps. This is a very unusual situation. This has not happened anywhere else in the United States.
Okay, and I do understand this is complicated and you are the professionals, but I guess the question I'm trying to ask, Lorraine, let me just ask it then. After the first baby died in Alt na Gelvin, should the public health agency, or indeed any other expert agency, should they have removed babies from having contact with the water supply, and therefore the three babies at the Royal Jubilee might still be alive? Should that have happened?
Stephen, you have to be aware that at the time the outbreak occurred in Alt na Gelvin, we had evidence of Pseudomonas from a tap swab. We did not have evidence of a problem in the wider water system.
But the chief medical officer issues an advisory at that stage telling them to check their water supply. So he thought it was a risk. So therefore, while that risk was being assessed, should the babies have been removed across all of our other maternity units from that water supply?
Stephen, when you're dealing with any infectious disease, you can get new and emerging patterns. What we had in Atlingalvin was an unusual situation. We had no evidence that there was a wider problem in the system in Northern Ireland. We had no evidence from the rest of the United Kingdom, from Ireland, anywhere else, that there was a wider issue in relation to Pseudomonas in the water system. If we have had evidence of a water supply, the department may have issued policy, you know, on that issue. If we had had evidence that we had widespread problem with Pseudomonas infections, of course we would have issued detailed guidance. Now, if you look at our data, which is all on our website, in relation to babies with Pseudomonas infection, you will see that routinely in Northern Ireland we had very low levels of this infection. So we had no evidence of a particular problem with this infection until we started dealing with the outbreak in Royal Jubilee, and then we started a programme of actions in there to prevent further colonisation and infections in babies.
So I've spoken, Lorraine, to some experts who have said that, look, Pseudomonas, it can actually be in quite a number. Just correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. It can actually be in a different number of locations around our daily lives. And for those of us who are healthy and that we're not vulnerable, our immune system is not vulnerable, therefore, we're relatively safe. So that Pseudomonas is only a real threat to people who are vulnerable. In other words, the likes of young babies. Is that right?
That's right. And people who are being treated for cancer or have cystic fibrosis or an oncology. And anybody who's immunosuppressed is vulnerable to a range of infections, including Pseudomonas.
Okay. And the elderly?
The elderly can be vulnerable to Pseudomonas if they're immunosuppressed.
Okay. So have we checked the water supply and the taps in our cancer units in Northern Ireland? Have we checked the water supply and taps in units that looks after people with cystic fibrosis? And have we checked the water supply and taps in care homes and those homes which look after vulnerable elderly people?
Stephen, all this testing would happen on the basis of a risk assessment. You look at the epidemiology of the infections that you have, and we have data on that which we have shared with Trust, and as I say, it is available on our website. We have no evidence of a particular problem in Northern Ireland in relation to Pseudomonas infection. We have identified a problem in our neonatal units, and we've moved to rapidly control that in terms of separating the baby from the water and initiating a tap replacement programme. Just yesterday, the Chief Medical Officer wrote to the service again on the water testing issue and has offered advice for those patients who are in those areas that you talk about, the high dependency units, intensive care, oncology units, burns units, in relation to risk assessing their own areas in relation to Pseudomonas. They have asked them to look at their data, to look at any infections they may have, any clinical isolates, to do a thorough risk assessment in their units and to look at their water systems, and reminded them again of the need to carry out thorough risk assessments to establish whether or not water which is in direct patient contact could be contaminated with Pseudomonas. The Trust will be working on that guidance. It only came out yesterday evening.
No, I understand that you'll be working on that guidance, but while that guidance is being worked on and while the Trusts are looking at it, what is the current situation for people who are in intensive care right now? Are they being, as babies have been, is the water supply being removed from them? Is the water supply being sterilised or extra precautions being taken while that review is taking place?
Okay, first let me answer the question sort of in sequence. First of all, we have no evidence of a problem with Pseudomonas infections in any of our adult intensive care units. So that's sort of setting the scene in relation to the infections. So these patients would be tested routinely for a whole range of infections, and we're not demonstrating that we have a particular problem with Pseudomonas. Secondly, the staff in all our hospitals, and in particular in all our high dependency facilities and intensive care facilities, are trained to deliver very strict infection control practices.
And we have they are in neonatal units.
Yes, they are trained to deliver those in neonatal units, but similarly in intensive care units they have training in place and systems in place in relation to infection control practices. we consistently work with the Trust to remind them of these and to train them on these. And just yesterday, the CMO guidance has again highlighted the key importance of effective hand hygiene.
But there was CMO guidance highlighting the importance of hand hygiene after Alton McGilvin. And then the outbreak occurred in the Royal Jubilee and three babies died as a result. That was after the CMO guidance. So the reason I'm pushing this today, Lorraine, is you keep on referring to, oh, it's okay because the CMO guidance has been issued yesterday about high dependency units and intensive care. But with all due respect, it was issued after Alton McGilvin and three babies died in the Royal Jubilee Hospital and taps were not changed until three babies died. So I'm just trying to understand as a layperson, and I do think members of the public will have a similar question. Why are you not changing the taps in our intensive care units in the same precautionary nature as you are changing the taps in our neonatal units, because we are dealing with vulnerable people in both those circumstances?
Stephen, a response was put in place in relation to a particular situation in neonatal units. We've no evidence that we have a similar situation in any of our other intensive care facilities. In relation to the issues you've raised in relation to guidance and practice in all of our units, you will be aware, as I've said earlier in this interview, that there is an independent review commencing to look at all aspects of this outbreak, to look at issues in relation to what may have caused it, to look at issues in relation to practice, to look at the epidemiology of Pseudomonas, and to look at our water system. So there's a lot of work to be done just yet. And what we have to remember here is that the key thing we have done here in the context of the outbreak is to protect babies. And to protect babies from, you know, further babies from being infected.
Sure, I understand
and
that.
Interventions have been thus far effective.
So no one in intensive care has died from Pseudomonas infection?
The Pseudomonas infection, as you know, does affect vulnerable people. So over time, people do get Pseudomonas infections in the same way as they get whole
in intensive care?
Infections. Patients in intensive care can get Pseudomonas infections, but what I'm saying to you, Stephen, is that we don't have any evidence that there is a particular problem with Pseudomonas infections.
How many people have died over recent years, over last year, from Pseudomonas?
In 2011, we have no death certificate presented that shows Pseudomonas was a cause of death in patients in Northern Ireland.
And final question, Lorraine, and I appreciate your time today. In terms of care homes for the elderly, and where elderly people who might have a deficient immune system because they're old, they're frail, are taps, is the water supply being tested in elderly care homes, and should they be?
The water supply in care homes for the elderly is not being tested, and there's no evidence to support a programme of testing of water in those facilities.
So they're not vulnerable?
There is no evidence to support a program of testing in those facilities. We have no evidence of a problem with Pseudomonas infections in those facilities. We are working with our colleagues across the UK to assemble the evidence in relation to this. This is new and uncharted territory for all of us. There's still a lot of learning to be done. But at this point in time, Stephen, we have no evidence that these areas are a particular risk.
But Lorraine, some of the evidence might be that elderly people die as what happened. The only evidence that you actually got to start this process was after three babies died in the Royal Jubilee Hospital. What I'm trying to ensure today through my questioning is that we are not waiting for a situation in which elderly people might die in a care home or something like it, and then you'll say, there's the evidence. So why, as a precautionary measure, are we not measuring care homes where elderly people are to test the water supply? Why are we not doing that if they are among our most vulnerable people?
Stephen, I think you're going to make people very anxious by this line of questioning, and let me just clarify something here. The elderly people who are in care homes are not all immunosuppressed and are not there because they're immunosuppressed. Some of them are there purely for care.
But some of them are.
Let me finish. The other issue is that we have no evidence of an increase in Pseudomonas infections in those care homes. So there is no evidence to point to a difficulty in this area or an epidemiological evidence of any increased infections. Of course, if we, through our routine monitoring systems, were to identify even an indication of something, we would be looking at them very closely, as we do with all our infections. And if you look at the epidemiology of infections, in Northern Ireland, and Pseudomonas in particular, we don't have any evidence of a problem with Pseudomonas infections in our care home.
Okay, and this is definitely the last question. It turns up on a death certificate, does it? No matter who you are. If Pseudomonas has contributed to your death, it appears on a death certificate, does it?
Doctors are very well trained in relation to how to complete death certificates. So somebody can die with the Pseudomonas infection but die from another cause, or they can die from Pseudomonas infection. The clinician who is filling out the death certificate will make the determination what has been the cause of death and what may have contributed to the death. So if Pseudomonas is a cause of death, it'll be recorded. If it's a contributory factor, it'll be recorded. And we look at both aspects of those in relation to death certificates and deaths from infection.
We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you, Lorraine.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Lorraine Docherty, Assistant Director of the Public Health Agency.